we do not make miracles our main ambition. We make the proclamation of the gospel and the sharing of truth our passion.
This is Hope Lives 365 with Pastor Mark Finley. Today's message, Divine Healing, Part 1. Enjoy, and remember, you can always catch up with past messages and stay up to date with Hope Lives 365 and Pastor Mark by going to hopelives365.com. And now, Pastor Mark Finley.
A number of years ago, I was giving Bible studies, and some of you may have heard me tell this story before, in a log cabin with a dirt floor that had no electricity, no running water, in the mountains of Tennessee. And I had been studying the Bible with this family for many, many months. And on this particular day that we were studying the Bible, a man walked in and he was smoking a big cigar. As he smoked the cigar and puffed, one of the first words out of his mouth were, "Praise God, I'm healed." Well, I was a young preacher in those days and not quite as diplomatic as I am today. And he repeated it a second time as he smoked this big cigar. "Praise God, I'm healed." Having an inquisitive mind, I said to the big cigar man, "Sir, what are you healed of?" And he said, "Cancer. I'm healed of cancer." Well, I was quite brash being young, and I looked up at him and I said, "How could you possibly be healed of cancer while you're smoking that big cigar?" He said, "Young man, you just don't understand. About 6 months ago, I went to the doctor. The doctor took an x-ray of my lungs and saw that I had a tumor. It was diagnosed as a malignancy. And he said to me, 'You are in serious trouble. Your cancer is malignant.' But young man, I just went back to the doctor today, puff, puff, puff with the big cigar. And as I went back to the doctor today, he told me that there was no malignancy. My tumor was gone. Praise God, I'm healed." And he said to me something I've never forgotten. He said, "You need to understand that if you have enough faith, God will heal you. And it doesn't make any difference whether you smoke big cigars or not." Well, that was rather perplexing for me as a young preacher. Is faith something that if I have enough of, it really doesn't make very much difference what my lifestyle practices are? Does God heal based on my faith in spite of what I do? Well, brother, I preach. You turn on microphones, you do everything else. And if it doesn't work, we leave it. Okay? Thank you, my brother. Is it on? Is it going? I have two microphones on. This is number three. The devil must not want this program to be taped. Okay. Thank you, my brother. This is the third. All right. Thank you. It's nice to have people take care of you. Thank you very much. So, I, you know, it led me to raise a question. And here was my question. If you have enough faith, does that miraculously heal you? Does it make any difference what your lifestyle practices are? That led me to a number of other questions that I want to raise at the beginning of our presentation, then I want to attempt to answer them. Did Jesus heal everybody who had faith in the New Testament? If you look at the New Testament miracles of Jesus, how many miracles were there, different miracles? We're going to look at that. What was the theology of miracles in the New Testament? What was the purpose of miracles in the New Testament? Do the New Testament miracles have a larger purpose than individual healing? You can never understand miracles unless you see the larger context of miracles. So we're going to look at first the theology of miracles in the New Testament. We're going to look at a number of the miracles of Jesus. We're going to raise the question, what is the purpose of miracles in the New Testament? The second thing that we're going to take a look at is how do you take that theology of miracles in the New Testament? How do you take everything we know about miracles in the New Testament and apply it to the anointing service today? When you carefully look at the anointing service in the book of James and you analyze it word by word, phrase by phrase, what is God's intent in the anointing service today? So we'll look at that. Then thirdly, we'll look at miracles in the last days, both true and false miracles in the last days, and we'll say to ourselves, is there a construct to know the difference? How can you know the difference between true and false miracles? And then we will try to apply that today. So first, the healing ministry of Jesus in the New Testament. Secondly, the anointing service in God's end time church and how that plays a role. And then lastly, we'll look at true and false miracles in the last days. So let's begin with the healing ministry of Jesus himself. When you look at the healing ministry of Jesus, what do you discover in the New Testament? There are at least four fundamental reasons for the healing ministry and the miracles of Christ. Now, one thing you may not be aware of, that in the 3.5-year ministry of Jesus, if you take each of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you weed out those Gospel narratives that give you duplicate miracles, although there were times that Christ came to cities and healed whole cities, that is true. There were times that Jesus healed the masses, and you see that in the New Testament. But if you leave out those, what I would call isolated instances, there are only 24 separate miracles mentioned in the New Testament. Now, when I first saw that, that surprised me, that in 3.5 years of Jesus' ministry, if you look at all the individual miracles and you take a harmony of the Gospels, we have 24. Now, that's rather interesting. Now, there are times, granted, that God heals, that Jesus heals large numbers in cities. We're going to look at that. But when I saw that, that led me to begin thinking in a different way. There's something else that I think is extremely significant. And so let's begin in looking at Luke chapter 7, verse 13 to 16. Luke 7, and we're going to look here at verses 13 to 16. This, of course, is the story of the widow of Nain. And you remember, let's start with verse 11. The widow of Nain's son died, and Christ raised the widow of Nain's son from the dead. Now, here's my question to you, and it's an obvious answer. Is the reason Jesus raised the widow of Nain's son from the dead because the son had such faith? What'd you say? He's dead, so obviously he doesn't have a lot of faith. Is it because the widow of Nain had such faith? Well, you read the story, and it's not that at all. So in the first miracle that I'm going to share, faith is not a factor. Now, there are other miracles that faith is a factor, so I want to give you the balance. But to say that faith is the sole factor in the New Testament for miracles misses the point. To say if you have enough faith, there's going to be a miracle, because in this instance, neither the widow of Nain nor her son have faith. Let's just read the story. Luke chapter 7, verse 11, 12, and onward. Now it happened the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of the disciples went with him in a large crowd. And when he came near the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out. So did Jesus heal the dead man because of the dead man's faith? No, he was dead, and the dead know not what? Anything. The only son of the mother, and she was a widow, and a large crowd from the city was with her. So does she have faith? Not necessarily. The story doesn't say that. She may need know very little about Jesus. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, "Do not weep." Then he came and touched the open coffin, and those who carried him stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And he that who was dead sat up and began to speak, and he presented her to his mother. So as you read that story, what is the sole criteria in this story for the miracle? You've got it. Jesus' compassion. So what is the criteria? Now, we're going to look at multiple criteria for miracles. But the criteria for miracle is not the faith of the mother or the faith of the boy, but it's Jesus' overwhelming compassion, Jesus' overwhelming concern for a very desperate situation. Here is a mother that's lost her boy, that's weeping. Jesus cares. Jesus loves. Jesus is compassion. So reason number one for miracles is not our faith, but the character of God. That he is incredibly compassionate. That he is incredibly caring. Second issue regarding miracles. As you continue to read this story, you find that something happens as the result of this miracle. Verse 15, 16, and 17. And he who was dead sat up and began to speak, and he presented him to his mother. Verse 16. Then fear came upon all, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has risen up among us, and God has visited his people." And this report about him went throughout all Judea.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Finley. We thank you for listening and hope you're enjoying today's message. Our mission is to attractively present the Christ-centered biblical truths of Scripture in a practical, relevant way to people around the world so that they may experience the abundant life that Christ offers and effectively share with confidence his life-changing truths with others. You can support this ministry and help us reach even more by going to hopelives365.com/donate. And now, back to Pastor Mark Finley.
So the purpose of miracles, don't miss this, is larger than my healing. The purpose of miracles is to bring glory to God. So the basis of miracles in the New Testament is Christ's compassion. But the purpose of miracles, it's not about me, it is about God. And so the function of miracles, so when we look at miracles in their larger context, it is not simply, and once this began to click in my brain, and I'm going to develop this as we go through the New Testament narrative, it made all the difference in the world. The purpose of the miracle is not simply to heal a person of cancer, but it is whatever happens in that person's life to bring glory to God. There is something larger than the removal of disease. There's something larger than the removal of suffering. It is in the context of what this person is going through to bring glory to God. So the larger issue is bringing God glory. So we've looked at two things about miracles. One, miracles, the fountain of miracles is always God's compassion. The root of miracles is always God's compassion. The root of miracles is always God's love. The result of miracle is always larger than the individual. It's bringing glory to God. Now, there is a third thing about miracles that we see in the New Testament. You find it in John chapter 5. This is the third fact we notice about miracles. Miracles are rooted in God's compassion. Miracles, the larger purpose of miracles is to bring glory to God. Now, in John chapter 5, here is something very unique about miracles. In the New Testament, and imagine yourself living back at the time of the New Testament. And there is a Jewish rabbi named Jesus of Nazareth who claims to be the divine Son of God. Where are his credentials? Are you with me? Where are the credentials of Christ in a skeptical Roman world, in a philosophical Greek world, in a world of formal religion? Do the miracles in the New Testament play a much larger role in launching the Christian church? And could that be why at times Christ healed whole villages. He's compassionate, yes. The miracles glorify God, yes. But Jesus needs to establish in a unique way his divine credentials as the divine Son of God. So as the result of that, he does mass healings to establish those divine credentials. And we're going to look at a couple passages that indicate this. John chapter 5, verse 36. John 5, verse 36. And we'll look at some of these passages that help us to understand this. In John 5, starting with verse 31, you have a fourfold witness of Christ. He speaks of himself, the prophets speak of him, the Father speaks of him. But then he goes down to John 5 and verse 36, in which he says, "But I have a greater witness than John's." Well, what is the greater witness that Jesus had than John the Baptist had? John the Baptist was a mighty preacher, wasn't he? There were thousands converted in the time of John the Baptist. What was the greater witness that Jesus had? He tells us, "But I have a greater witness than John's, for the works which a Father has given me to finish, the very works that I do bear witness of me that the Father has sent me." So the works that Jesus did bore witness of his divinity. When he touched the eyes of the blind and they were opened, he touched the ears of the deaf and they were unstopped, he touched the withers man's arm. So one thing that we can never leave out when we study miracles is this. The context of miracles in the New Testament, Jesus worked miracles as a divine testimony of who he was. Jesus worked miracles to reveal that he was the divine Son of God. And those miracles testified to his divinity. But the only issue is whether immediate healing, gradual healing, or healing in the resurrection brings the most glory to his name. I am willing to leave the timing of the healing to him. Now, we will develop this as we go. Matthew chapter 9, and we're going to look here at verse 22. Matthew 9. Here is a good instance of a woman who went to physician after physician. She spent all her money. She had an issue of blood. She was hemorrhaging. And she said to herself, "If I only may touch his garment, I may be made well." But Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, "Be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well." Your faith has made you well. Now let's look at John chapter 10, verse 25. John 10, verse 25. And we look there at that passage. Jesus answered them. Now here, Christ is speaking and he says, Jesus answered them, "I told you," John 10, 25, "and you do not believe. The work that I do in my Father's name, the works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me." So the works that Jesus did bore witness that he was the what? Messiah. Now, everything we teach in class today, I'm going to give you first the biblical foundation. So we've been looking at the fact that one of the reasons for New Testament miracles is to testify of who Jesus is. Jesus' miracles testified to the truth of his words, that he came not to destroy but to save. So when Jesus worked a miracle, you remember the many times Jesus worked a miracle, and after he worked a miracle, he said, "Your sins are forgiven you, go and sin no more." And what did the Pharisees do? They criticized him. And Jesus said, "What's more difficult, to raise this man up or to forgive his sins?" So Jesus often used physical miracles to heal the body as a testimony that he could heal the soul. He often used physical miracles that he could open blind eyes so that he could open the eyes of the mind. He could open deaf ears, so he could open the ears of the heart. So Jesus did not separate physical and spiritual healing. The Christ that healed a man's withered arm could heal his withered heart. His miracles testified to the truth of his words, that he came not to destroy, but to what? Save. Jesus desires, he desires, that our dull senses shall be quickened to discern his merciful kindness and to glorify him for the working of his power. It was to accomplish this purpose that the miracles of Christ were performed. Now that is a very clear statement. It was to accomplish this purpose. What purpose? That we would understand his merciful kindness and glorify him for the working of his power. It was to accomplish this purpose that we would understand that he is Messiah, that the miracles of Christ were performed. So when you study the New Testament on miracles, what do you find? You find that Christ at times healed entire groups. You find most often he worked with the one soul audience and that he performed 24 separate miracles. You find that the basis of his miracles was his incredible compassion, that the purpose of his miracles was to glorify God, that the miracles played a role in establishing his divine credentials. Fourthly, you will find a number of times in the New Testament where those three things are blended and that faith plays a role, not every time, but you will find times in the New Testament where God honors people's faith in working a miracle. And we're going to look at that, and then I'm going to give you a qualification of it. Matthew chapter 9. Faith is not the sole criteria for the miracle, which I think is a fundamental point that separates Seventh-day Adventists from Pentecostals. Most Pentecostals and most people in the healing movement believe that faith is the only criteria. Faith is not the only criteria. There are times that God works a miracle to illustrate his compassion that leads people to faith who did not have faith. We find that in the New Testament. So it's not simply the faith of the believer. And let me tell you why that's so critical. Because if you have the idea that it's the faith of the believer that is the sole criteria for the miracle, then what's the reverse of that? If you're not healed, what? Don't have faith. I remember, I see Steve Lewis here. Steve, I was teaching in my Chicago friend for years back in another generation. I was teaching in the Golden Age restaurant in Chicago. It's a Chinese restaurant, not a New Age restaurant. I was teaching the book of Daniel, and I had taught Daniel chapter 3. And after teaching, I talked about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego going through the fiery furnace, and that sometimes in our lives we go through fiery furnaces, and Christ didn't deliver them from the fiery furnace, but Jesus was there. At the end of the meeting, a woman came up to me, and she said something like this to me. She said, "Pastor Mark, can we talk?" I said, "Sure." She said, "You know, I'm going through a fiery furnace." I said, "Do you want to talk to me about it?" She said, "Yes." She said, "Here's my fiery furnace. I was diagnosed with a malignancy in my breast that I have cancer. I have done everything I know. And my friends said, you need prayer." She wasn't an Adventist. And she said, "You need prayer." So we began to pray. And I wasn't healed. And the cancer metastasized. It got worse. And she said, "So my friend said to me, you don't have enough faith." So now, Pastor, I had two problems. Number one, I had cancer. Number two, I didn't have enough faith. So I began to be depressed over that issue. Then my friend said to me, "There must be some hidden sin in your life. And it's the hidden sin that's keeping God from healing you." Now, Pastor, now I got three problems. I got cancer. I don't have enough faith. And I am so guilty because of some hidden sin that I am depressed all the time. When you study the New Testament, there are times that God heals individuals and there's no evidence that they have any faith at all. There are times, like in Matthew chapter 22, Matthew chapter 9, that there is great faith. My point is that faith alone is not the sole criteria for miracles. What is the criteria for miracles? There is a bottom line, and here's what it is, and let me tell you what it is. If there is something larger than faith, and that is in the divine sovereignty of God, will this miracle today bring the greatest glory to his name?
You've been listening to Hope Lives 365 with Pastor Mark Finley. We hope you've enjoyed today's message and remind you that you can find more in our many ministry resources at hopelives365.com. And you can support this ministry by going to hopelives365.com/donate. And now, a final thought from Pastor Mark.
If I have faith, what is faith? Faith is trusting God, believing that He has my best interest in view. Faith leads me to glorify Him in sickness. And if, because I live in a world of good and evil, and I am not healed immediately, but I can bring glory to His name in the condition that I am in, I trust Him for that.